welcome to the Fifth Roots podcast, recorded live at Roots Americas in Quito, Ecuador.
Today we have a keynote interview with Declan Ryan, the chief executive of Viva Air, the group behind Viva Colombia and Viva Peru.
Declan has been involved with establishing or managing six low-cost carriers over the past 30 years, including Ryanair, Viva Aerobus, Tiger Airways of Singapore, and Allegiant Air in the US.
In this interview, recorded in front of a packed audience at Roots Americas, Nigel Mays from leading aviation consultancy ASM asked Declan about his life in aviation, his hopes for Viva Air, and his views on some of the major issues affecting the industry.
It really is a fascinating insight, and we hope you enjoy this podcast. So, over to Nigel and Declan.
I qualified out of college in the 80s in Ireland, and there was no jobs, so I went off to the States and worked for America West in the States. And showing my age, I got telex to say Ryanair got the Dublin to Luton license. And in typical Ryanair fashion, we call Luton London. And it was an interesting time. The family are from Tipperary. We're proud Munster people. The Ryanair story is amazing. It took us 12 years to IPO. I'm just enjoying the fire in front of me.
This is the fire side.
I walked across from the hotel trying to avoid sweating all the way over, and then there's a fire side, coals here for me and so on. So Ryanair took 12 years to IPO. We went through a lot of bumps, but it's just amazing, you know, for an airline to carry 130 million passengers a year, be an Irish carrier, to be a very proud Irish carrier. And it was an amazing story, and I don't think you ever forget the hard days. You know, people say that they do. I don't think they're telling the truth. We had a lot of scars from the, and we nearly went out of business several times. But the rest is history, and it's fantastic. So after Ryanair, I decided that it was getting too big and a little bit boring. We set up Tiger with Singapore Airlines, which was very successful. Tony Davis was our CEO there. Did a great job, and Tony still works with us today. We did a kind of mezzanine style debt with a deal with the guys in Allegiant in Vegas, which worked very well. Then we did Mexico with Viva Aerobus. I'm sorry I'm not meeting JC Juan Carlos tomorrow, but he's a top class CEO. He's done a great job with Viva. When we started Viva, there were 16 airlines in Mexico, and today there's only four. So it just kind of shows what happens in the marketplace, and I think the same will happen down here, in particular in Peru. And then we sold out of Mexico. We sold to our partners there, IAMSA, which is the largest bus company. And we set up Viva Colombia, and we started Viva Peru. But I think I was saying that to you earlier, Nigel. People are the same all over the world. They want to go from A to B at the, you know, best possible price, lowest fare. Spend the money on the ground. You know, I'm flying back with Copa tonight, $500, you know, just nuts.
But there's going to be some differences in different markets, and we'll come on to a little bit from that. But what do you think in the businesses that you've you know, involved with the Viva Aero Group, and I think we'll spend a lot of time talking about that because we're in that region. What are the lessons that have been taken from the Ryanair days and put into those businesses?
Yeah. I think fundamentally most people will know them. We won't do different aircraft types. Viva Air, which we call the holding company for Colombia, and Peru just ordered 50 new airplanes, Airbus. We're agnostic about the type of airplanes. Ryanair find Boeing fantastic. And they are fantastic. Both manufacturers make really good airplanes. So you just stick to the one style, you know, one type of model and so on. You know, you do the usual stuff. You negotiate hell like hell with the airport groups. You make sure you're as efficient as possible. Medellin has been a huge success for us because we've been able to get some really good people in Colombia. All the lessons are kind of similar, our fares in at the moment are around $30 and $40, and we're making about $5 or $6 on auxiliary revenue. You give the choice to the punters, to the people, to the passengers, and You know, if you're at 35,000 feet, a Budweiser or a Club Columbia is going to cost you $3, so you can't get over that.
What about things like utilisation of aircraft? Is that the same?
Yeah.
Same as you get in Ryanair, and the way you schedule the aircraft is exactly the same?
Yeah. We wouldn't be as efficient as Ryanair. You have to remember, Viva Air is only 5 years old,
yeah.
So it's a baby. So we wouldn't be as efficient as the guys in Ryanair or Viva Aerobus, but we're getting there. A lot of the routes in Colombia internally are small sectors, short sectors. Bogota to Medellin is 28 minutes. It's 9 hours by road, so it's perfect for aviation. No, we want to do more sector lengths, and we'll start doing international routes out of Medellin and Bogota and also out of Peru. But that's how we'll solve it.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a bit about growth then, because you're mentioning growth there.
Yeah.
So you've just ordered 50 aircraft across the group, and 7 are coming this year?
Yeah, we have. So we've ordered 50 new airplanes, 35 CEOs, 15 CEOs and 35 NEOs. The CEOs are coming first. We have 7 this year and 8 next year. At the moment, our fleet is 14 airplanes, 3 in Peru and 11 in Colombia. We're going to double the size in Peru, and we'll touch on Peru a little bit later on. So it's going to transform the airlines. Every airline we've been with, including Ryanair, the minute you get new airplanes, transforms the airline, particularly if you've been operating used airplanes, which we did or are doing at the moment. The airplanes are online, and they'll replace our first 14, which will go back to the lessors, the older airplanes. And then one of the reasons we're here, we're in deep discussions with some airports, and Steve Rapp, who's a very good commercial director and one of my deputies, is having loads of negotiations with airports about where we should put these airplanes.
And in terms of, just to finish that you said some of them were replacement, the existing aircraft, so does that mean if there's 50, you've got 14 already, your growth is going to be about 36.
Yeah, exactly. The growth will be at 36. But, you know, in this marketplace, 36 is a lot of airplanes. I wouldn't like to be in JetSmart's position, who have 70 airplanes coming down the line.
Yeah.
And they say it's just for Chile. I don't think that's correct, and so on. So we think 50 airplanes is about right. And we're very seriously looking at Ecuador. Seen 3 or 4 airports in the last couple of days. So, I'm not going to bullshit you, Nigel, and tell you where all the airplanes are going. I just don't know. But put it differently, and probably answer it in a bit more of a professional way. I think our fleet will go up to about 25 in Colombia. It will go up to about 10 to 15 in Peru. And other markets, including Ecuador, will be the remainder. And we're also looking at Central America. We're not looking at Chile. We think Chile is going to be a nightmare, not because of Chile. But because of the airlines down there, LAN, JetSmart, and Sky, are going to have a big fight down there. We would be arriving too late to the party, and we think those three carriers are going to kick the daylights out of each other. So we want to avoid that fight. And also the distances really are just incredible, I think. To Santiago, 6 hours.
So. It's an interesting point now about the countries that you've chosen.
And
Mexico obviously seemed like an obvious one with Viva Aerobus in the early days.
Yeah.
And then Colombia, and then now Peru.
Yeah.
But you've ignored some of those other markets like Argentina or Brazil. You know, what's the drivers?
I get myself in trouble all the time on Brazil because I call it a basket case and other things. And that's nothing to do with the people. The people are out of this world, but If you talk to LAN or you talk to Avianca, they'll tell you how hard Brazil is to make work. It's not a country that actually loves foreign investment, you know, at the airline size. There's been a lot of screw-ups with carriers there. So we're going to avoid Brazil. Argentina is very interesting. It's also a great country and great people. And they kick the shite out of the Irish in rugby all the time, which we try to forget. We'll talk about Newcastle later on.
And football.
But Argentina, we had a good look at it. Argentina feels like a gold rush. It feels like, you know, Flybondi are there and Norwegian are saying they're sending over 60 airplanes. And, you know, Aer Lingus is a good carrier. They have a lot of union problems, but they're a good carrier. Like, I have no doubt we'll be flying in Argentina, but there's just too much noise, and it doesn't smell right at the moment. But, we'll go back into Argentina, or sorry, we'll start Argentina at a later date, but it's not a priority. Our priority this year, Nigel, in 2018, is effectively to introduce the new airplanes, because always an important thing to do, and Airbus are in our offices today helping us with that. And also to grow Peru, and we tested Peru last year, launched on the 9th of May with three airplanes. We've proven that there is a market there, and we're going to double the fleet this year.
So let's talk a little bit about Peru then. Say the business is performing well. Is there a point when you launch into a country and you're looking to break even or hit certain targets or certain achievements? And is Peru above that or below that?
It's certainly above it with regard to load factors. We're blown away by the load factors. The yield is a bit lower than we wanted it to be, but we've had our best, January was our best month yet down there. Lima Airport is a nightmare. It's not a nightmare because it's run by the Germans. It's a nightmare because they're not doing enough with the infrastructure. And I think Fraport are sitting comfortably and taking all the cash out of the airport and not doing the investments that they should be there. Like, for an airport anywhere in South America and Latin America to say that they're full, that's a bit crazy. There's a couple of other things in Peru that are interesting. There's some really good airports outside. 98% of all passengers who go to Peru go to Lima. It's a bit nuts. It's a bit like saying 98% of all passengers who go to the UK hit Peru. Yeah, it'd just be nuts. So, you know, airports like Arequipa and Cusco, they badly need to open up to international routes. We've also called in Peru for a financial regulator to look at the airlines in a more kind of international standard. And this isn't us having a go at the Peruvians. It's us saying that Peru wants to join the OECD. And if you want to join the OECD, you have to operate like other jurisdictions like America and the UK and so on, Europe and so on. So at the moment, with a financial regulator in Peru, they check you at startup and then they leave you alone for the rest of your life. Some of the carriers under us, like Peruvian and LC Peru, haven't got financial audits. We're paying our taxes, and we hear that they're not paying their taxes. So we just want a level playing field. But Peru's a very interesting market, and it only has, I think it's nuts, it only has 4 million passengers a year. Like, most people would think a country like Peru, with all its beauty and all its cuisine, very nice people, and so much to do, would have more than 4 million. Like, Ireland has 8 million passengers, tourists a year, you know. That makes no sense. But that goes back to, if you don't have low fares, you're not going to have the backpackers.
Yeah, but that involves going international, so which brings me to the next question.
Yeah.
So with Peru,
when
is the time right to go international? Or
soon.
You say there's lots of domestic opportunities.
Soon. Like, we're concentrating on 5 routes at the moment in Peru. We started with 7. The typical LCC model, 2 of them didn't work. We have piles of routes in Colombia that don't work. We hold up our hands and we say, guys, that hasn't worked, we're getting off it. Or the airport are screwing us and we just say, hell, we're getting out of here, we can't make that. Similar to what we did with Cali in Colombia. So we'll do international routes. I'd like to do them out of places like Arequipa and Cusco and northern Peru. And, you know, something like 1 million Chileans go to Peru every year, and so, you know, there's a pile of border airports on the inside of Chile that would make logical sense to hop over the border. There's 300,000 people in the mining industry in Arequipa, and, you know, they're good jobs, that's good money, and, you know, those people want to fly.
When they get off their shifts, they can...
And you know, they're providers for their families, and we take that very seriously. But, and they don't want to pay land fares. Like, down in Arequipa, land is hated because they're dominant and they have too much market share and so on. And they're Chilean as well, so you have all the local politics and all that kind of stuff. But Peru has qualified for the World Cup and the Chileans haven't, so there's a lot of smiles down there. But when I was in Arequipa, which I loved, was the grandmothers and the priests and everybody. were playing football because they haven't qualified for 34 years. So it was lovely to see it. And I think Peru might get another group. It would be interesting.
Just going back to Argentina.
Yeah.
Just because I want to sort of...
Being a good Brit, you want to focus on Argentina?
Well, just because there's lots of noise in that marketplace at the moment. And my question that I wanted you to ask was, is there not a first mover advantage?
There is.
So if you let these other guys come into the marketplace, do they not build the brands and then it makes it difficult to you to come in later?
It does, but you have to make a decision based upon where our strengths are. And our strengths are in the Andes region. We're only 11 airplanes in Colombia. The size of the fleet will double. Medellin has been an amazing opportunity for us. Yeah, so maybe Norwegian, if they survive, will have a big presence down there. Fly Bondi, again, they're a startup. Startups are hard to survive. They've got $75 million from Wall Street. Yeah. I don't think it will take them long to spend. So, you're right.
Who'd you put your money on out of Norwegian, Fly Bondi, and Avianca Argentina?
I'll answer it in a different way. I wouldn't put any money on Fly Bondi.
You wouldn't, please. Right, okay. No, that's... and in terms of the rules in Argentina on fares and those sorts of things, the airports being government-owned, they weren't...
Yeah, and there was a concern for us. Like people, we had some really good advice over there, and our lawyers, who are Argentinian, were fantastic. And you know, there's a belief, and I don't know the country that well, but I love the country. I love the different parts of it. And went to Salta and all those different parts of the country, and so on. Mendoza, really beautiful. Like. They're just going through a change of political scene. And Macri's doing a great job, but will they let him? You know, he's taken some really tough decisions. I don't want to make too many political comments because I know nothing about it. But he's pulled back on some of the subsidies for fuel for people. You know, they're tough decisions. They have to make it. But, so it's not a perfect, it's not like Colombia is an amazing environment. You can be 100% foreign owned. Avianca being around for 75 years, so there's a lot easier operating environments in South America, Latam, than Argentina. You wouldn't put Argentina on your first of your list before. And Aerolíneas is regarded a bit like their football team. They're very loyal to it. You know, it's a bit like the VA brand.
So, well, let's move on to Ecuador then.
Yeah.
Considering we're here.
Yeah.
And as long as you don't make any references to Manchester United and their captain.
Okay.
So, Ecuador, what's attractive about this market and what would be some of the barriers that you may come across?
Okay, so I'm a bit of a virgin to Ecuador in that I've just been here for a couple of days. I was blown away by the airport in Latacunga. We think that could be the next Stansted or Luton of the city here in Quito. Like if you take a bus journey, it's only $1.50. If you take a taxi, it's $11. That's quite cheap to go into the city and so on. We met the minister yesterday. I was very impressed with the Minister of Transport. He has a lot on his plate. You know, he has to sort out TAME and he owns 17 other airports. But I didn't know there was nearly 18 million people in Ecuador. I didn't realize I got a few hours yesterday afternoon to walk around the old town and avoid the kids who wanted to spray me all the time in the streets, and some of them got me and enjoyed getting the gringo. But be serious about it, like old town in Quito was beautiful, and I'm definitely coming back with my wife, and we're going to do the Galapagos, and there's so many parts of this country that are beautiful. And in Viva we carry a lot of backpackers, and our joke is we call backpackers MacPackers because they all have computers and they have laptops and they have, like the Macintosh, and they have iPhones and so on. In Medellin, when I'm eating at night, they're in the same restaurant. You know, so if you take that kind of golden triangle of Ecuador, Peru, and Colombia, you know, there's going to be a lot of Brits, Germans, and Yanks, and so on, who will fly with us.
And do you have a feel for how much your business is Americans or...
10% of our traffic in Colombia at the moment, which is too low, is foreigners. And we want to obviously get that up to about 20%. But like at the moment, guys, in Medellin, there's 2,000 backpackers a week. And what happens is they have this kind of, they've all watched bloody Narcos and all this kind of stuff, like the Netflix thing. And, you know, their moms are calling them and saying, you know, Jesus, don't stay there long. They fall in love with Medellin, which I have. And they realize how beautiful it is and how the city has changed. And they go from staying there for 2 days to 5 days, you know. So, and listen, Cartagena and Santa Marta and, you know, Colombia has so much to offer. So we are genuinely trying to get more backpackers. So if you guys have any daughters or sons or nieces or nephews... We'll do a deal with them.
Yeah. Fly on the Viva Colombia.
Exactly.
So then, what are the barriers then? So why did you choose Peru over Ecuador? And,
yeah.
Well, it wasn't just that you're a Newcastle fan and you couldn't bear to fly to somewhere where the captain of United
is. Yeah, we forgave them last Sunday when they lost 1-0 at Newcastle. But anyway, I think it was just the perception that Peru is a bigger market. And I'm not too sure that's correct. We still haven't got the full numbers of visitors to Ecuador, but let's assume that it's lower than Peru. There's no reason why the numbers in Ecuador for tourists should be a lot higher. They just don't have enough low-cost carriers. Maybe they don't have any low-cost carrier. They have a national carrier who's very sick. 7 of the airplanes are on the ground. So, you know, in hindsight, maybe we should have done Ecuador first. But we're in Peru. We're doing very well there. And we're this, as I said, we're going to, I'll talk to you about the barriers now in a sec. We're definitely going to double, maybe treble the fleet in Peru in the next couple of years. Like we know some of the Chilean carriers like JetSmart and Sky are trying to get into Lima and it's full. So there's an advantage for us. The barriers are the airports. You know, I don't understand and I like to have a good conversation with people in the region and so on. But there seems to be this crazy thing, Nigel, where... A lot of the airports are owned by foreigners, like Airplan up in Medellin have been bought over by Azur in Mexico. The Mexicans are extremely tough, we know them very well. They make a shitload of money, they have a 40% margin. They give dividends of $100 million every year to their shareholders. Airplan, when we started 5 years ago, their margin was 60% net. Like, you know, we weren't making any money. Quito's controlled by the Colombians. Nothing to do with the Colombians. I just don't know why Ecuadorians can't control their airports. You know, I don't think the Brits would let, you know, a German company control Heathrow or whatever. You know,
they let Ferrovial get in.
Yeah.
Perhaps we like the Spanish more.
Yeah, but look, Frankfurt, Germans control Lima. You know, it just, why is Germans controlling an airport in Peru? You know, and the margins are 38% in Peru. So I think the minister is right here. He has 17 airports that aren't controlled by foreigners. And it's not a kind of foreigner versus Ecuador thing. I'm making that point. He should make sure that some of his airports are controlled by his own team and make sure that the costs are kept down. Like, why do low-cost carriers make margins in single figures and then the bloody airports make, you know, like Azur make 40%, you know, net a year? It doesn't make any...
But I suppose from the perspective of those foreign investors, they would argue that, you know, Quito now has a state-of-the-art facility.
Yeah.
And to me, it seemed very modest. It seemed like a very efficient facility. So, you know, there is an argument that, you know, there has been investment into the airports, and the same within Lima, and the same within some of the Brazilian airports that are now foreign-owned.
Yeah, well, we pulled out of Quito, Bogota, because we couldn't make money on it. The guys in Bopane, who own, probably a good name for them, who own Bogota, effectively control Quito and say that their margins in Quito are better than Bogota. So, listen, you guys are all sensitive. A, because you're airports, and B, because they're your sponsors and all that good stuff. So Nigel asked me to be, I'm being good, by the way. But effectively, the margins are too high in the airports. And if you're a government minister for tourism or for finance and so on, you want that income from tourists. And why do 98% of people who go to Peru fly through Lima? It's a nightmare. There's 120 casinos in Lima. Like, who wants to go to any city that has 120 casinos in it? You come from the airport and it's like a bad Vegas, you know. So anyway.
So perhaps while we're talking about deals and airport relationships,
yeah,
it's probably worth just getting your take then on what does the perfect deal look like and how does it get structured?
The perfect deal originally was with Medellin, where effectively when we were launching Viva Colombia, we went to Cali and we went to Medellin and we said, guys, this is what we'll do for you. And Cali weren't interested. I'm going to be politically correct today for a bit. And they weren't interested, and we went to Medellin. In the 5 years, we're only in Medellin 5 years. In the 5 years that we've been there, traffic has grown from 3 million to 7.5 million, 6 million domestic, 1.5 million international. The city of Rio Negro, where the airport is, the main airport is, has doubled size. There's hospitals, there's churches, there's everything being built up there, apartments, you name it. So the perfect airport is Airplan, but not owned by the Mexicans. Just being bought over by the Mexicans. So I unfortunately think we're going to move airplanes out of Medellin possibly this year because costs are going to go up. But the perfect deal was the deal we did with Airplan 5 years ago, and look what we did growth-wise.
So was that a 5-year deal, a 10-year deal?
It was a 5-year deal. It's coming up at the end of this year.
Okay. And in terms of charges, do you think each market has its individual charges, or do you work on a basis that you're actually we want to be at $10 a passenger, we want to be at $5 a passenger, or do you have a view that some markets, like with Ryanair, that market may be worth more? Stansted, we may be worth more paying more going to Stansted.
First of all, you have to remember Ryanair is 30 years old, right, and it's very established and so on. Viva Colombia and Viva Air and Viva Peru is only 5 years old, so we're establishing ourselves. First couple of years, the fees have to be very low because we're putting in. Listen, we were going to operate out of San Jose Airport in Costa Rica. We're going to put a base there, and this is a story that's quite well known. The airport tax was around $40. Our fares was going to be $30 out of Costa Rica. Out of San Jose. You know, I wasn't the brightest in the world, but I know if your fares are at $30 and your taxes are at $40, you know, like, you know, some of the airports like Cancun are $39 or whatever the figure is. Alleys are very high. So if the airport charges are high, we just won't go there. Just can't make money. And we pulled out of Cali this year, and we pulled out of Barranquilla, and we haven't heard a word from Cali. And Barranquilla have been a lot more commercial and interested in getting us back. But this is Ryanair all over again. I remember when we pulled out of Manchester and we moved, by the way, we thought we were huge at the time. We moved 7 airplanes to Liverpool. It didn't take long for the Manchurians to come over the hill and say, come back, you know. That's one of the advantages of airlines, is you can move your assets around. We don't have many, but it's one of our advantages.
That's the thing that's going on your side in the negotiation, right? Okay, so let's move on then, just from the airport and airline relationship, and let's just talk a little bit about how the LCC model might differ here as it is in Europe.
Yeah.
You know, do customer expectations, are they different? Do they have a different booking profile?
Yeah.
Payment methods? Yeah. Are they more price sensitive? What? You know, how do consumers, do they differ or not?
They do differ, and it would be very arrogant of us to think just because we have a good model in Europe, it's the same model here in Colombia and Ecuador and so on. You know, not the same penetration with smartphones, a great example. Peru is very interesting. Peru has one of the highest penetration of smartphones in the region. It's 40%, and that's really important to us now through booking. It's kind of interesting, when we set up Viva Aerobus in Mexico, the business plan said 40% of the bookings would be by the internet. But after a year, it was about 95%. So you guys can ask Juan Carlos about that yesterday and so on. Cash is a very big factor, which isn't the easiest to deal with. And you know, we have these relationships with banks as well as the retailers like OXXO and 7-Eleven and so on and so on. So there's loads of different things, but you know, we The market has grown 40% in Colombia since we started, and we've brought a lot of new people who've never flown before, which is always fantastic.
And do you find them more price sensitive, or do they book early or later, or does that not really? There's no difference there between you.
I don't think so. They're more price sensitive because of the demographics. But the middle class in South America and Latin America is growing very significantly. I think the figure is about 50 million people have moved into the middle class over the last couple of years. So we're seeing it in Medellin. Medellin has a very good work ethic, and a lot of banks are based there, and a lot of the Grupo Argos and a lot of the huge big companies are based there, and so on. So, people are sensitive because their income is different, but our fares are still $30. And what you're not seeing the same frequency as you would in Europe or in the States with people traveling, but, you tell your girlfriend for $30 that you can't go see her for a weekend, you're going to be in a lot of trouble. So I think that's the same around the world.
Good. Okay, and just a quick question about those differences. Does that mean that the staff that you get and the management teams that you put into these airlines, do they need to have local knowledge? Do they need to understand those differences? Or do you manage to get a nice mix of people that know the local market and you get some people that have worked in other parts of the business?
We've been really lucky in Colombia because there's this particular work mentality and work ethic in Medellin that you don't see in Bogota and you don't see in other places in Colombia. So they've got it very well. Also, on a positive note with regard to Avianca and stuff, a lot of our pilots and engineers are ex-Avianca, and they're so well-trained. You know, Avianca has been around for 75 years. Like, the standard of engineers in Colombia are very good. So that's all positive. But, the Peruvian market is a challenge, and, Peruvians, if you don't mind me saying, and I don't mean it in a bad way, would be just a little bit more relaxed than the Colombians would be. And, they kind of wouldn't understand that you have to pay for a bag or because they've been used to flying land. And what they do is they get pissed off with us because they have to pay $5 for a bag, but they don't realize that mom or dad has bought the fare for $700 for an hour flight or something.
And with regard to the pilots, no union issues in...
Oh, you're dying to ask the Ryanair question.
Go on. So
what's the question? What's the question not, before I answer?
Is there a threat that what happened to Ryanair last just before Christmas could happen here, or are the pilots unionised?
Probably a bigger threat because the whole region is more unionised.
Yeah.
In some ways, what happened with Ryanair was inevitable. My brother, God rest his soul, used to be a captain, and so I have a better understanding of pilots than maybe Michael has in Ireland. I don't know if I would flag them off in the same way. And if you continually do that for 30 years, it will bite you in the ass. But there is a risk. Listen, look at Avianca. They had the longest strike in the history of Colombia. Now, that was Christmas for us because, I've been in the industry 30 years. The amount of people who come up to me in Medellin and say, oh, by the way, we flew with you. They think they're doing me a favor. So they don't normally hold my hand and they say, we flew with you. And it's great that they came out of their BMW and flew with Viva Colombia. And what they always say to me, Nigel, and it's been day one, it wasn't that bad. And it went on time. So the strike in Avianca wasn't particularly well handled, but it was very well received by full for 60 days, which was fantastic, and new passengers. So listen, I think the industry needs to respect pilots. Ryanair doesn't do everything right. Michael doesn't do everything right. None of us do everything right, but I think what happened in Dublin was inevitable.
Okay. So,
it's a bit like slagging the Newcastle fans. It's inevitable.
Is it inevitable that United
that will win once?
United were going to lose at some point. I know. Right, we've got about 10 minutes. So if we've got any questions from the audience, have a think. We've got some people with roving mics. So before we do that, let me just ask a very quick question, then we can go to the floor while people are thinking of questions. So do you look at Ryanair and look at some of the things that they are developing? So the whole idea about Kenny Jacobs trying to push Ryanair to become the Amazon of travel.
Yeah.
You know, Ryanair putting bags in the hold for free. Do you look at each of these things? Is there a dialogue back to Dublin or not at all?
No, Ryanair is like blood for me. We're still shareholders. The family still has shareholders. And we're fiercely proud. You know, one of the things people forget is, like, this is an Irish carrier that carries 130 million people a year. That's pretty cool and amazing. Some of the stuff Ryanair does suits the European market and may not suit the market here, but, you know, the internet has been phenomenal. We're working on an app. That would make a load of sense down here and so on. So we'll cherry pick is the best way to put it. But, you know, and we'll do whatever suits the market here and so on. So we have to be very respectful of that.
Okay, are there any questions from the audience that you would like to put to Declan?
I've insulted so many people, particularly airport operators. There's probably none.
Right. I actually think you've been very well behaved.
Okay, good. I have another 8 minutes to
whisper. Hi, good afternoon. My name is Ed Delgado. I'm an Everton fan.
We'll still let you answer the question.
Question for you. What have been the challenges with Viva Air with introducing a low-cost carrier in this region? Because basically, it is one of the first ones to hit the region. What are the stumbling blocks or challenges that you've seen in growing your airline?
And may I ask where you work, sir?
I am with a startup airline here in Ecuador.
Okay. I would think the challenges you'll face will be similar to the ones we face. People get really pissed off about printing boarding cards. We get that all the time. People have been looking at Avianca and LAN ads and just, you know, thinking about glasses of scotch and champagne and all that kind of stuff. So we're kind of educating the new travelers. So that's probably the biggest thing that we, and it's quite hard. And I remember when we, here's a great example. I remember when we were had our first technical problem down in Singapore, and Singapore Airlines was a 40% shareholder, and they rang us up and they said, wet lease an airplane in. We said, go away, we're not going to pay for a wet lease the airplane in. We're going to fix the airplane and fly. And so people, you know, I don't know how many airplanes Avianca have, but they have a lot of them, so they wheel one of the ones around the corner in, and we just don't have that spare capacity. So there's an education to the market. But we're also pulling a lot of people from the buses. And I think that's going to be a really big factor for us. Not too sure about Ecuador, but it's really going to be a huge factor with us in Peru, because most of the buses are illegal. They drive at 140 kilometers an hour. You give the driver a couple of dollars, he'll stop wherever you want. There's a serious amount of road debts in Peru from the buses and so on. You'll have challenges with regard to educating people what low costs are.
And is there an education around the brand as well, or less so?
Well, they love the brand. Like in the last World Cup, Colombia had a great result. I can't remember who against. And the manager, who's Argentinian, of the Colombian team went up to the TV and went, Viva Colombia. So we played that for about 4 hours afterwards. You know? No, we don't have a problem with the brand. No. In Peru, No, we don't really have problems with the brand. Everybody loves it. It's a great name, like Viva Ecuador, Viva Peru.
But you don't...
We're not posh like you guys in British Airways.
How do you build the brand? Do you run social media?
I think the fare builds the brand. And, you know, I think you get word of mouth, and I think the fare... people are very proud in these countries, and, you know... Seeing Peru, Viva Peru on the side of an airplane when you're in Arequipa, they just love it.
Yeah. But you're not spending millions on press or advertising or billboard advertising. You're relying on word of mouth, social media,
yeah.
And the cheap fare.
Yeah, in fact, Avianca have an ad at the moment about surprises at check-in about paying for baggage. They're actually doing some of the advertising for us. Great.
Okay. Any other questions from the audience? If not, I've got another one that just in terms of the Elanda group, and you've taken it now to every part of the world, pretty much, with the exception of a few places. Does that mean that, as a group, do you still look at all the corners of the globe? So you still look at Africa? Do you still look at the Middle East? Do you still look at Russia or North Asia?
The joke in the office is there are certain places I won't travel to, and Nigeria and Russia would be high on the list. But to be serious about it, we're going to go public here, and we always go public unless we do a trade sale with one of our partners. So we've listed several airlines already, Tiger and Ryanair and so on. We're going to list Viva Air, probably, certainly on the New York Stock Exchange within the next 2 years. The new aircraft have been a big part of that. And we'll probably list, have a dual listing in Colombia as well. I don't know, we could speak for hours about what Africa needs. Wearing my heart and my good Catholic upbringing, it'd be great to do a low-cost airline down there, but it's hard to see the environment. And we're investing in other stuff. We're putting a lot of money into drones. We see a huge future in drones. Don't go back to pilots now, just because I'm talking about drones, please. And we see that as just another extension of aviation. And I don't know.
With what respect is that in terms of investment in drones? That's not the EasyJet using drones to check in.
No. This is going to be like. And by the way, I don't believe the stuff about Amazon finding your pizza into your back garden. You know, I think they'll do a few of them, but I think it's more to do with like oil and gas. Do you think of what currently happens in the oil and gas industry? The trucks and the guys and the helicopters. You know, just follow a pipeline. Drone can do that work. We had a terrible incident in Ireland this year where one of our air rescue helicopters crashed and killed four of the crew. There's a lot of view, not just in Ireland, in a lot of places in the world, that drones can go into heavy weather. You know, you're not risking anybody's life. I love the humanitarian side of drones. You know, if you go back to Africa, wouldn't it be great to send, actually there's a lot of trials going on at the moment for the movement of blood samples, which is very badly needed in Africa. But like if there was a flood going on or a famine, just be able to. We don't know where drones is going to finish up. So again, it has nothing to do with pilots, but we think drones will be a really big opportunity. But we can't tell you where yet.
And has Elanda ever got anything wrong? Because it seems like everything seems to have worked.
Tell me
what's been the biggest failure?
Well, one thing I can remember, the first day we had a jet in Ryanair, a friend of mine, a guy called Charlie Clifton, but we got this brand new 111, and we were all ecstatic, and we thought we were like British Airways and Aer Lingus and so on. And he moved the jetway and took the door off. And when you have one jet and the door comes off and you don't have a replacement door, that's loads of mistakes. We made hundreds of mistakes. Mexico is a hard market, and we underestimated a sewer. And, when you talk to a sewer, they tell you Cancun is full and, the charges are bigger than Mexico. We thought the charges in Mexico would come down a lot more than they have. Jesus, we made so many mistakes. I'd be a bit like Leonard Cohen up here now if I start talking about the mistakes, but we've made loads of them.
Right, are there any more questions from the floor?
25 seconds
left. Come on, you've got 25 seconds left.
Oh, there we go.
Come on.
Airport operator, here we go. Airline.
Another airline. Is it not any of the airports want to speak up?
I'm from Rafael from Gol, Brazil. You talked about some of the challenges that you see in the Brazilian market. What do you think has to change in order to the regulators there enable Viva to come in?
Yeah, it's a great question. We very nearly bought Webjet. I'm delighted we didn't. You guys did. The airports are expensive in Brazil. Brazil is an expensive operating environment, as you know well. I don't know enough about the infrastructure, but I just don't know why the fares aren't lower. Gol were doing really well until you bought Barrick, and I'm not slagging here. I can understand why the family wanted to do something good for Brazil. You know what, sir? I don't know enough about Brazil to give you an intelligent answer. That's on the basis I gave you any intelligent answers today. But to be serious about it, if you take the population and the distances, you lower fares. And I just don't understand why. I know we didn't get a great reception with regard to doing a Viva Brazil. It was kind of... I think you have judges at the airport. A bit bizarre. Sorry? So, if I understand it correctly, if the airlines have been naughty, the judge will wrap you in the knuckles and fine you straight away. That's a really good reason not to operate somewhere. So, I think it's a shame that Brazil doesn't have more developed low-cost market.
I think David told me today, 33% of the traffic in Latin America is low-cost. So... yeah, the scope for that to be increased. The time is up. There's one other burning question. Go on. You don't have to mention where you're from.
Alejandro Valles from Azur Airport. It's always very educating. And I would like to thank you for your endorsement as Azur. That's a great business. Yes, we are a great business, and thank you for that. It's a really compliment coming from you, because Ryanair and Viva Aerobus are also great businesses. Just wanted to pinpoint, I was wondering, where did you get the number for the airport tax in Cancun? It's not $39, it's $22.
How many?
22.
20?
22.
Is that domestic or international?
International. Domestic should be like 13, so we are the cheapest airport in Mexico, all of Mexico, because we are such a great business, we're able to offer that competitive.
I hear you defending yourself, sir.
That's true. You can check the numbers, but I'm not doing that.
Ask Juan Carlos tomorrow what he thinks of Azur.
Well, I'm looking forward to have those meetings with you, but really it's very interesting and very educating to hear you all this. We will have the opportunity to clarify some things, and also as far as their plan goes. The deal is still on, as far as the commitment on both parts stay the same. When the commitments are changed, of course, the deal has to be modified in some ways. Well, thank you. It's always a pleasure.
Thank you.
Okay, so that was...
pleasure.
So that was the defence from the sword, yep. Which we appreciate.
Yeah.
Right, there's... If it's a very quick question, we can take it.
Hi, my name is Nicolas Larenas from Avion Review International Magazine. Quick question, could you please tell us more about your plans for Ecuador? And for example, is the Bogota-Quito route returning soon? Thank you.
Thanks, sir. Can you say that again? Sorry.
Oh, the specific plans for Ecuador and more about the Viva Colombia returning to Quito.
Okay. If we get a deal and we're in negotiations with your ministry for Aracunga, we'll come back from Bogota very quickly. And we're also in discussions about doing some other routes in Ecuador. But a pile of my competitors are in the room, so I'm not going to tell them where I'm going. But we'll be going on routes they're on as well.
I think that's fair. Okay, so that's great. Thank you very much, Tegan. The amazing thing is, I've really enjoyed it. The interesting thing is, you've spoken very eloquently about the market. You've talked passionately about the region as well, which I really enjoyed, and I thank you for that. You've not sworn, which I think Michael probably would have done, and yeah. As an Irishman, I thank you for that. You've talked a lot about the direction of the business, which has been great. There's definitely a clear message about the airport charges. I liked your comment about the 40% growth in Colombia, which is great. It's a good message to share with everyone. And we ended up on drones. So I feel like I have actually had an hour in a pub with you, and okay. Perhaps we should have had a beer with it.
Next time we'll have it.
Next time. Okay. So thank you very much, everyone. Thanks for listening, and thank you very much.